Hi, you entrepreneurs. Today we have Meg Eamon. She is a digital marketing strategist. She's traveled all over the world. She came from San Diego, then moved all over. She moved to Spain, Germany, Switzerland, very down to earth. She had some major life events that happened to her where she was able to fight through that. Some would even say like a phoenix. And to start our own business, and you're going to really want to hear this story. Some great information, especially at the end. You're going to hear some platforms. What are the dying ones? What are the ones you want to put your money into and really focus on? Listen, subscribe, tell your friends, and hopefully you get some good information.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
All right, so we are here with Meg Eamon. And if you say Megan, she'll probably get mad at you and get very angry. So it's Meg. Meg.
Yeah, I'm too nice. I let people call me Megan and they get away with it. But some of my good friends, they're the ones who will.
She's saying this on radio, but I called her Megan and she punched me in the shoulder. So I just want you to know that. She is a creative marketing digital mastermind. What do you call yourself, Meg?
I've had to shorten it down to digital marketing strategist and website designer.
Okay.
I got my start in working for startups and they hired me straight out of college to do all things marketing, social media, email, video, event marketing. And I finally had to kind of figure out what I was best at and what I was most passionate about. So digital strategy, helping other people with their businesses and doing website design.
How long did it take you to figure out what your niche was, what your focus was going to be?
I guess it's been about 5 years. I always knew I wanted to do marketing. I studied marketing in college. And then working, as I said, working for startups for the past couple of years, I got my hands in everything. And when I finally decided to start freelancing and go out on my own, I really got to decide what I wanted to do.
Okay. So when you were in high school, were you doing marketing? Were you doing anything there to get you into the path for college? Or
I got very lucky. I got to travel from a young age because of my parents' job. So I actually went to high school in Spain. Wow. And it was a British system.
Okay.
So we took what's called A-levels. That's kind of similar to AP classes in America.
Yeah.
And I took a class that was business studies.
Okay. So you speak Spanish?
Sí.
Oh. I probably speak a little. Oh, okay. Maybe she might speak a little more Spanish than I do. Okay, fair enough. So we're in Spain. Where are you living?
Valencia.
Valencia.
On the East Coast. It's about 2 hours east of Madrid, 2 hours south of Barcelona.
You really have the Lisp, though, so I'm curious.
I've gotten rid of it because now I living in San Diego, I've learned the Mexican Spanish accent instead of the lispy Spain accent.
Fair enough. So when you came from Spain, and how did you pick San Diego out of all places?
I was born here.
Okay. So you're born here, yeah. Left, and then came back.
Yeah. So born in San Diego, lived in Michigan for a little bit. My dad is from there. Then we went to Germany, learned a bit of German. We went to New Zealand, went back to Germany, and then Spain.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
I'll quiz you on that at the end.
Yeah. I'll probably forget most of that. I think Germany, Spain, and there's one in the middle, but we'll get past that. So how did that shape you going from San Diego to Michigan to Europe? How did that shape you as an individual?
Well, going to Europe at such a young age, you really have to learn, you accept that you're an outsider in almost every aspect, and you learn to adapt, you learn to be flexible. There's a lot of difficult things in that, but you also learn who you are, and you learn how to connect with all kinds of different people. So it was an amazingly valuable experience.
Okay, so do you think that ability to connect with multiple of individuals and learning multiple languages has helped you in your kind of advertising career?
More than I ever could have known. When I was 16, I wanted a sweet 16. I wanted to go to prom. I wanted the whole American experience, and I didn't appreciate what I had.
Well, do they have, and I've been lucky enough to live also in Europe too, but I've actually never thought about that. So do they have any kind of so-called proms or anything like that? Or
yeah, they do, depending on what schools you go to. If you find an American school, international school, the high school that I went to didn't. But
okay.
We had a lot of other things. We actually got to go clubbing kind of early because they let you in at 16 and you can drink at 18. So we had a lot of experiences early. And just the European culture doesn't make that seem like such a bad thing to go try. So we got to experiment and grow and learn without feeling censored and like anything we were doing was unacceptable.
It sounds like a lot of late nights right here. And hopefully your parents aren't listening to this podcast. I'm joking. So you graduated college here, and then you went into the corporate career.
So I actually graduated college in Switzerland. That was another country that I got to go visit. And so I was there for 4 years, studied international management marketing. And after I graduated, I realized the country that I haven't explored is the one that I'm from. Hmm. And so I decided I wanted to come back to the U.S., move to San Diego to figure out what it's like to be in the city that I was born in. And immediately I got involved in startups. A friend of the family introduced me to one. And I loved the fast-paced nature, the fact that it's all hands on deck, and you just get so much experience. It's not like someone fresh out of college in a corporate job who might only get to bring someone coffee or take notes at a meeting. You really get to do a lot. So I took on a lot of responsibility at a young age, and it taught me that I had more skills than I gave myself credit for.
So what did you learn with that startup? Was that your first really job or first?
I did internships with Oracle in college in the summertime. So that was my first real experience. And right away I realized corporate wasn't necessarily my favorite avenue. And then, so the startup was my first real job. And yeah, I learned a lot in a short amount of time. And it was a really valuable experience.
It seems like you're just breezing over a lot of these things. It's like, oh yeah, I lived in Switzerland too. No. Oh, Oracle, yeah. Oh yeah, no. So I have a Maserati that I drive on the weekends, but I don't really like talking about it too much.
No, it was funny. I remember my dad wanted to buy me a BMW or a Mini Cooper, and I said, no, I don't need it. I'm going to share the car with my mom. And yeah, I like to breeze over a lot of this stuff because honestly, it's made a lot of people uncomfortable. I've had really, really fortunate, luxurious experiences, and I'm very grateful and I'm very humble, but a lot of times it's been hard to talk about those things with people because they write you off so quickly as a spoiled brat or maybe some jealousy and envy. So it's just not something that I like to talk about too much.
Oh, that makes sense. So I'm assuming your family had some sort of funds available?
Well, my dad was always really ambitious and really motivated. Mm. He worked really hard in his career. He was always involved in international sailing, sports event management and marketing. So he was a really great role model in how to work hard and make money because you're really good at what you do.
What do you, there might not be a strong correlation, but the idea that I think it's second generation, there's usually like a 50% failure rate because they're not fighting as much for their funds. Like, it sounds like you're kind of got a little bit, but it wasn't the same career and everything like that. Or what's your take on that?
Well, it's so interesting because there's so many people in older generations who think millennials, the stereotype is that we don't work and we just buy our avocado toast and our lattes and spend too much. And then we wonder why we can't afford houses. And obviously a lot of that is a misconception.
Yeah.
Without going into too many details there. It's just that our parents worked so hard for us. And so success and financial wealth or whatever other types of wealth we never had to work for it ourselves, and we think it's just standard.
Yeah.
At least that's been my experience. I thought that everyone lived like this, and I thought everyone got to travel and had all these amazing opportunities. It took me a long time to realize what my parents had done for me. And once I did, I became really grateful, and I started to see how I could bring what my experiences were, bring them to other people, help other people learn from those experiences, have those experiences themselves, and be hopefully an inspiration to how you can be grateful and start to work harder and bring those things to yourself and anyone that you might come in contact with in the future.
Was there a shock moment, or was there a moment that actually allowed you to appreciate that, or was it just over time?
So I did have a really scary financial loss at one point.
Oh, wow.
I kind of see it as the rug being pulled out from under my feet, and there's a lot of good things and a lot of bad things. 2018 was the best and worst year of my life. Hmm. I thought that someone that I trusted was going to be there for me. I thought that we had an understanding, and suffice to say, boundaries were crossed, communication and trust were broken in ways that I didn't think would be possible. So as I said, it was the worst thing that had ever happened to me, but it was also the best because it forced me to see that the startups that I was working for weren't necessarily paying me for what I was worth and the value that I was providing, and that it was time to take a leap, try something new, trust in myself and my skills, and that's how I started freelancing, and now I've scaled to a digital marketing agency.
So when you were at that low point, what was there something that was able to pull you up, or was there people that were able to pull you up, or
Definitely support system, friends and family. I think one of the bad things that we do to ourselves is that we blame ourselves for things that are out of our control, and we want to help other people before we help ourselves. So we really have to remember that, A, the things that are out of our control are not our fault. Only focus on what you can do. Be supportive to other people, especially the ones who have really helped you through the hard times. And strap on your own oxygen mask before you try to strap on anyone else's.
Did you start seeing, because there's a saying, and I butcher most sayings, so I'm going to try to butcher this one also. The idea that you know a true friend at your lowest moments, like the good friends are all around at the highest moments. Oh, so did you start seeing a big group of your friends leaving you, or kind of being more standoffish? Or
in a way, I did lose a few friendships who I was really close with, but I also don't blame them. I see a lot of that as not my own fault, but there was definitely two sides to it. So I see that I was attracting things and I was putting out kind of negative energy because of the things that were happening to me, and other people who decided this wasn't for them, they couldn't support me, were, you know, they had to move on. And especially at that kind of age, your early 20s, you've just graduated, you're in a big transition anyway. So no matter what you're going through, good or the bad, you're going to be going through changes. And
So we're in 2018, you're at that low moment, you're bringing yourself back up. How did you decide to go on your own instead of something safe of like going to the corporate field or something like that?
I think I just knew I didn't want to do that. And I was excited to try new things and be creative. I built a website for a friend, and suddenly my support system, all these people were referring me right and left to clients. They said, oh, this person needs a website. This person needs help with their social media. Can you design business cards? And a skill of mine that can also be a curse is that I say yes to too many things, and I take on too many projects. So it's good and bad. It got me to where I am today, and I've also had to learn to slow that down and cut it back. But initially, saying yes, jumping in head first, even if you're not sure you can do something, you just have to go for it and try, because even if you fail, it's a lesson, not a mistake.
So you did one website, and then everyone comes up to you and says, I want a website, I want this. That seems like a really smooth transaction.
It really, I mean, it wasn't all smooth, but that's where you realize, oh, even if I don't think I'm good enough, other people do. So at the end of the day, it's the people that you surround yourself who can make or break your business and your life.
So talk us about some of the things that weren't smooth then. I know the idea that the low point, that was, you know, probably something you had to come through. Have there been other things that you've had to rise above?
Well, I think it's always going to be self-doubt. I've talked with so many entrepreneurs here in San Diego who share this same level of perfectionism, and we all have an inner critic. And so it's really learning how to manage those expectations that you place on yourself. So whether that's through meditation and yoga and any other self-care practices, making sure that you're not self-sabotaging yourself there, because there's all these other obstacles in life, money, relationships, unexpected losses that can ruin whatever's going on for you. So don't let yourself be the biggest hurdle.
When you have those self-doubts, what has been the thing that's pulled you up? Has it just been the support system around you? Has that been the extent of it? Or is there anything else, like a mantra or activity or anything like that?
I've definitely used fitness and wellness. I've just started getting into meditation, journaling. Yoga has been huge. Going for a run, and actually music. I always come back to music. If I'm having a bad day, I put on the Beatles. Don't judge me. I'm secretly 60. I have an old soul. I play guitar, and yes, I bring my friends over, bring my friends who can sing, who can laugh, and just take me out of my head.
That we actually, so we had someone on the podcast, Bill Pross, I can't say his last name, but his idea was all about music, and he had dealt with depression his whole life, and so he trains people and teaches people how to actually use music to elicit emotions out of them. And he goes, mm-hmm. Everyone should have four songs that they want and they need to actually help them get to those different points they need to get to.
Right.
Yeah. So, I definitely understand what you're saying.
That's actually the other thing. So the fact that he said four songs to bring out different emotions, it's okay to bring out the emotion, even if it's negative. Like if you need to cry, cry.
Yeah. You need to let it out.
If you need to like punch a pillow, that's what my mom used to say, punch a pillow. But you know, if there's anger, if there's
Well, you can control the idea of whatever that emotion is, because if you let it fester, it's going to pop out when you don't want it to come out.
Exactly. So, yeah, managing your mood and being okay to express your emotions. I come from a family of people who don't necessarily express their emotions well, so I've always been the person to boil it up, keep it inside, and then have it explode at the wrong time.
How have these hurdles you've had to overcome with, you know, the self-doubt and being at that low point affected your business in a positive way? I'm assuming.
Well, I think the low points and the self-doubt will obviously affect your productivity. You'll have days where you might not want to get out of bed. Maybe you don't respond to an email from a client as quickly, or I don't know, like a handful of different things like that.
Does it give you clarity at least when you're talking to someone that maybe is uncertain about themselves and their own business when you're working with them?
So it makes it really easy to recognize when a client or a friend is going through something, and you know, if they don't want to talk about it, you don't force them, and you don't force advice on people either, but you always just reach out and say, hey, I'm here if you need me. And that's all you have to do.
If you could look at that younger individual, that person that was in Spain partying it up, drinking at the age of 16.
I didn't paint the best picture there. My point, I just want to clarify to everyone listening, the point was not like drinking and partying. It's that we got to live and have fun without feeling like anyone was judging us or
she's saying these words, but she's winking. I'm just throwing it out there. No, I'm just messing with it. So, okay, if you could talk to that young person, and then also maybe another person looking to get into the digital marketing platform, what kind of advice would you give? I guess in two different pieces, or
yeah. So, I mean, I think the biggest thing is to travel as much as you can. Mm-hmm. I think Gary Vaynerchuk says that a lot too. Like we're in your 20s, it's the time where you have the fewest responsibilities in your life, hopefully.
Yeah.
So that's when you need to take the biggest risks. Don't go do the easy 9-to-5 corporate job. Don't go sit at home and not travel, because these are the times where you can be growing and experiencing new things. And so that's like advice for anyone at a young age who's just starting out. My other advice in terms of more of like the marketing and business side is, this is the best time to start your own business, even if it's a side hustle, even if it's just a hobby. Figure out what you're passionate about, because passion will always bring in people and bring in sales. It's so clear, especially on social media, when someone's selling something that they're not passionate about.
Yeah,
it's the posts when people are being authentic and talking about something that they really love. That's when you make that connection with people that turns a hobby into a moneymaker.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense. The idea with the travel aspect of it, one thing, and it was, again, I'm the worst when it comes to remembering stuff, but there was this one philosopher, I think it was Kant, I'm not sure, but he was talking about the idea that you have to go outside your own bubble to actually see who you are. Like I was living in Czech Republic, and I tell this story all the time to people, but there was a professor I had there that he was from the U.S., right? And he told a bunch of stuff, but one idea was, is I'm assuming most people listening right now, especially in the United States, if they have a significant other and their friend has a significant other, that significant other are going to meet each other one day. He goes, that's the U.S. mindset right there. He goes, I've had friends that I've known for 10 years, my best friends, they've never met each other's significant others. He goes, that's the way that you just grow up there. So some of the stuff that you think is just you is actually basically society putting upon you.
Exactly.
And so, I can definitely appreciate that. So what's next for the digital marketing platform for you?
So scaling, figuring out more of who my niche clients are. I've taken on so many different kinds of businesses, e-commerce, service providers. I really want to start focusing on the businesses that I'm really passionate about. So that includes musicians, artists, more of like the creative businesses. And then also sailing. Sailing is a huge part of my upbringing and growth, and event marketing and anything related to the water.
Oh, wow. So why the creative individuals like artists and stuff like that and musicians?
Because I think it's kind of a selfish draw, because I've always loved art. Mm. I've always been a bit of an artist and I've always been a musician. So if I can be around like-minded people, it's just a more fun project for me.
Yeah, definitely. Do you play any instruments?
I do. I play guitar, play a little piano. No singing though.
So are those any of your anchors also? I know the music avenue of it, where you have your friends come over. So do you play the guitar or
get out of your mind? I play guitar. My friends will sing. We'll make up songs. We'll play all the oldies like Van Morrison and Beatles and Rolling Stones. And yeah, so it's just a great way to pass the time and have fun.
Can you walk us through like the idea? So someone comes to you and they say, I need your help. I'm totally lost. What's the process?
So when people are starting their own businesses, a lot of times they won't know who their audience is. We really want to start with who is your ideal client? What are their pain points? What do they need? Because people jump so quickly into saying, oh, well, here's my three services. Here's what I do. Why is no one buying from me? It's because you're not targeting the right people. So we do an in-depth analysis of your audience, of your services and products, and making sure that you understand what your audience needs so that you can be communicating that in your content strategy. And then the other thing is knowing where your audience is. A lot of people will go straight to Instagram and not realize that they might be targeting an older generation who's still on the dinosaur platform of Facebook or something like that. So it's really...
Is MySpace still around?
I think it might be making a comeback.
Is it?
I think Facebook actually is trying to take a bit of a MySpace approach. They just added a feature, at least I just saw it, where you can add music to your profile.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I was scrolling through that this morning. But yeah, so a lot of people are just not clear on who their audience is. And then you're putting all this effort into videos or captions for a social media platform and not really speaking to the right people.
If I gave some hard-hitting question right now where I tell you a social media platform, could you tell me a rough idea who's usually on that platform?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go with Snapchat.
Snapchat, it is millennials and Generation Z, but it's not necessarily a place for brands to focus any of their advertising budget. People go there for private conversations with friends. I really am happy that you asked me about Snapchat because I just did a big research project. I asked everyone I knew, did a big survey because I wanted to see, even if I don't use Snapchat very often, should I be recommending it to clients?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. Most millennials are even considering it kind of a dying app.
Oh, wow.
It's fun for the private stuff, but people aren't really using it for brand awareness. And if they are, it's like TMZ and celebrity stuff.
Okay.
So at least that's what I've heard.
What about Tumblr?
Tumblr is definitely more like the creative side, photographers, designers, artists. And I think it's also more of a creative expression and private.
Would Instagram then fall into the same category?
Instagram is just huge. It is like the number one social media platform for Generation Z, millennials, even some of the older generation, Generation Y, which is kind of millennials as well. A lot of people have different versions of the same generation, so it gets a little cloudy. But it just comes down to knowing who your audience is and what your services and products are.
LinkedIn
professionals, entrepreneurs. Age range is pretty high on that one. You'll get people from early 20s to late 50s and 60s. But definitely if you're going for more, if you're looking to target an audience with potentially more revenue and bigger companies, enterprises, larger businesses, that's a good platform to be on.
Twitter.
Oh, Twitter. It's hard. I'm so biased on Twitter because I just don't use it ever. But it's another one that's similar to Snapchat in that it's just not seeing the same return on investment that other platforms are.
Oh, you heard it here first. Snapchat and Twitter are a dying brand.
Twitter's not dying, but it's also not growing. They're not seeing growth in their users and accounts.
And the last one, Facebook.
Facebook is still there. You know, Mark Zuckerberg basically owned the world. and it will still be useful for kind of the older generation. But again, with the algorithms, it's just pushing down so much of the content. So you have to make sure that you have a strong organic content strategy and are also using paid social ads because that's what they've been able to design. It's a good business model. They've been super successful, obviously, that they are forcing you to pay money to advertise your content. Otherwise, you're not going to get the same reach.
What is there any new ones like? Was it TikTok or is there any new ones?
Yeah. So in my research on Snapchat, a lot of people were saying don't do Snapchat if you want to reach Generation Z, use TikTok.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's kind of...
So that is an up-and-coming one. Definitely worth looking into.
Wow, there we go. You can look into it, but actions speak louder than words, so actually use it, right?
There
we go. So anything else? So if someone wants to reach you, how would they get a hold of you?
So they can reach me through LinkedIn, through Facebook. My Instagram is Meg Eamon, or my business Instagram is MWE Creative. You can reach me at MWECreative.com. Got my phone number, my email, so I'm pretty reachable.
Anything else you want to tell people listening right now? Any kind of one last piece of wisdom?
I didn't party that much in Spain. I'm kidding. The main thing is, like, whatever you're going through, yeah, find that support system, and whatever you're going to survive. What is it? 100% of your hardest days are behind you. Something like that.
That's good.
We're going to get through it.
Yeah, no, that's definitely positive. And remember, if you guys are listening or you know Meg, it's not Megan, it's Meg. So just be aware of that. Hopefully all you entrepreneurs got some great information. Hopefully you know what social media platforms to focus on. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and if you need any social media advice, give Meg a call. All right, thanks guys.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.